Well, as we heard earlier this morning, Australia's peak energy group, industry group rather, has made a dramatic last-minute plea for the federal and Victorian governments to intervene to keep the Hazelwood coal-fired power plant operating. The former Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, is echoing that call. In an opinion piece for some News Limited papers this morning, Tony Abbott also says the Turnbull government should consider a bailout to keep Hazelwood open, at least until the Prime Minister's Snowy Mountains pumped hydro project can deliver. But Alex Kaiser, the chief executive of the French energy giant ENGIE, which owns Hazelwood, believes the plant can't be saved at this late stage of the shutdown process.
I don't believe so. We have not had any conversation, neither with the state of Victoria nor with the federal state on this. And this would still be a very expensive solution, knowing that we need to invest multi-millions of dollars in order to keep the plant safe to continue to operate.
That's Alex Kaiser, the CEO of ENGIE Australia, which operates Hazelwood. Well, former Prime Minister Tony Abbott joins us now. Tony Abbott, welcome back to Breakfast.
Fran, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So you've written an op-ed piece this morning calling on Malcolm Turnbull to make an 11th hour intervention to keep Hazelwood open. You say pumped hydro might be the new, big new thing, but only coal-fired power will keep the lights on. The Hazelwood power station's been slated for closure for a while now. Even over the years of your government, there was talk of it. Why are you asking the federal government to intervene now at this very late stage?
Well, Fran, we have a problem, a very serious problem. The lights have been going out in southern Australia because of the difficulties of combining baseload power with the surges of renewable energy. So we've got a problem. The government has put forward a solution. That's 2,000 megawatts of pumped hydro. The solution won't be available for several years, even though we have a problem now. So my suggestion, a suggestion which has been backed by many others in recent days, is that instead of closing down Hazelwood, we talk to the company about keeping it open, at least until pumped hydro is available, because there's almost 2,000 megawatts in Hazelwood. If we need 2,000 megawatts, let's keep Hazelwood open.
But you just heard Alex Kaiser there. He's the boss of the company that runs Hazelwood. He says it's too late for this. It would cost way too much money to keep it open now. Some suggestions are $750 million. And he says it might be making money now, but generally it's not making money. There's too much investment to be made in it. It's a big load you're asking taxpayers to bear.
Well, Fran, the pumped hydro scheme will cost at least $2 billion. At least $2 billion.
But so, it will work for decades into the future.
And Hazelwood is licensed to operate until 2034, which is more than 15 years away.
It's not going to last that long if you take a look at it. I think those who work inside say no way.
Well, Fran, we have a problem. The solution is not going to help us out for several years. Surely if what we need is an extra 2,000 megs of generating capacity, and we've got 2,000 megs of generating capacity that's about to close, we keep it open until the replacement generating capacity is available.
In terms of capacity and what's needed, the regulator, AEMO, put out a statement last night which says, and I'll read it to you, the closure of Hazelwood will not compromise the security of the Victorian electricity system nor the broader national electricity market next summer. There are power generation resources available in Victoria and the national energy electricity market that currently are not operating at all or to their full capacity that can be made available to replace the power currently supplied by Hazelwood. Why aren't you reassured by the regulator?
Well, I'm not reassured because the regulator wasn't able to keep the lights on in South Australia. The regulator wasn't able to prevent a blackout which did very serious damage, potentially fatal damage to the Portland aluminium smelter.
So you think the regulator doesn't know what it's talking about?
Well,
that's a problem, isn't it?
Look at the results. Look at the results, Fran. We had the lights go out in South Australia. We had a 24-hour blackout in South Australia. We had a very serious blackout in Victoria. This hasn't just happened once. It's happened on numerous occasions. Now, I think it's wonderful that all levels of government are now thinking about what needs to be done to keep the lights on. But we've got a 2,000 megawatt power generating capacity at Hazelwood that could be kept going until we have the 2,000 megawatt pumped hydro generating capacity of the Snowy. Now,
or until these other sources that AEMO recognises are turned on.
Now, Fran, the government says we need an extra 2,000 megs in the system, and it says in a few years' time we'll have it, thanks to pumped hydro. If we need 2,000 megs in the system, let's keep these 2,000 megs in the system at least until pumped hydro is ready.
Is this just a reflection of your predisposition for Australia to rely to the fullest extent on what you think is a natural advantage we have with coal? Because you say in your op-ed piece, and I'm quoting, climate-induced political fiddling has put power prices through the roof and robbed Australian manufacturing of the cheap energy advantage it once had. What kind of fiddling are you talking about? Policies to move away from fossil fuels?
Well, Fran, there is no doubt that the renewable energy target is at the heart of our difficulties, because what you've got in South Australia is wind providing somewhere between 0 and 100% of the power needs. Wind, of course, is very, very variable. When it comes on at almost zero marginal cost, it's driving out of the system alternative providers which have lower overall costs and which are necessary to provide the base load. So it's a distortion in the system which the renewable energy target has created, which is leading to these sorts of difficulties. And
with respect,
let's face
it,
there are difficulties, Fran. I mean,
there are difficulties,
are
of course,
going through the roof, and reliability is going through the floor. That's the problem that we've got.
There are clear difficulties, and no one would disagree with you there, but a lot of people would say, we told you so. It was always going to be difficult and complex to integrate renewable energies into the grid. And even in your time as Prime Minister, were there not enough efforts made to A, foresee this, and to B, start working on it? I mean, battery storage, to get it going now, we're a bit late in the day, aren't we?
Well, Fran, you can always say what might have been done a year or 2 years ago, but this is now, and what might be done now to help is not close down Hazelwood and not put ourselves at risk of blackouts in coming summers. Now, what I did was I scrapped the carbon tax and I reduced the renewable energy target. Now, I tried to ensure that state governments were not putting unreasonable restrictions on gas exploration and gas extraction. Now, these are all steps in the right direction, but what we now need is a big further step in the right direction, and that is saying to Hazelwood, at least until we've got the extra 2,000 megs that pumped hydro could provide, let's keep Hazelwood open.
You did scrap the carbon tax, and now in recent months we've got businesses like BHP, we've got the NFF, we've got the BCA, we've got energy players like AGL, all united that the transition to renewables will continue to happen, and the best way to plan for it is to put a price on carbon. Your government took away the price on carbon that we have. These people are calling for an emissions intensity scheme for the electricity sector. Are you prepared to rethink your position on pricing carbon pollution, given these calls?
Well, I don't call it carbon pollution. Yes, we need to reduce our emissions as best we can, but what we shouldn't be doing is clobbering our economy and reducing our living standards and costing our jobs, all in the name of emissions reduction. And the problem, Fran, that we've had in recent times is that we've run our energy system not to produce affordable, reliable power, but with the principal objective of reducing emissions. Now, our energy system is there to produce energy. Let's adopt other policies like the Emissions Reduction Fund, which my government put in place to get emissions down.
Okay, so you don't support the calls for an EIS, and you do regret, by the sounds of it, the fact that when you were government, the 23.5% renewable energy target was put in place, was confirmed.
Well, I certainly think that what's become absolutely crystal clear now, and which was less apparent 2 years ago, is the impact that renewable energy is having, not just on power prices, but on power reliability. Because renewable energy is, by definition, intermittent energy. It is, by definition, unreliable energy. And the more intermittent and unreliable energy you've got in the system, the harder it is to have energy security.
But isn't it true, if you had no renewable energy target and you have no price on carbon, you will have no transition from fossil fuels? That's the truth of that.
But the truth is that we are going to be reliant on fossil fuels for decades and decades to come. And one of the bizarre features of this debate is that the one country which is not allowed to use Australian coal is Australia.
Well, they are using Australian coal. We're needed to wean ourselves off it.
Why is it right and proper for India and China to increase their energy production using Australian coal and not for Australia to do likewise?
It's 17 minutes past eight on Breakfast, speaking with former Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Tony Abbott, if I can ask you a couple of other quick questions on other topics. This week, the Liberal Party, led by Malcolm Turnbull, of course, is doing what you didn't manage to do when you were Prime Minister, which is scrapping the words offend, insult and humiliate from Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act. Do you give Malcolm Turnbull credit for that?
Oh, look, I think it's terrific that the government is having another go. 18C, as it stands, is a bad law. It's been used to harass people, officially persecute people who should never have been persecuted. So I'm pleased that the government is having another go, and I think that having had a couple of years to think about it, the proposal that the government is putting forward now is a more finessed proposal than the one that we put forward 2 years ago.
At the time you dropped it, I understood it was because of the backlash, particularly from the Muslim community, and it was a time when security needs were high and you were concerned not to get that community offside. The same dynamics exist today, doesn't it?
Well, there are a number of different factors at work. Yes, there was a backlash from ethnic groups. There were also Liberal premiers who were attacking the uphill and down Dale, and there were a number of my colleagues who said in the party room that they were prepared to cross the floor on this. So it was a rather different situation 2 years ago than now. 2 years ago, we hadn't had the appalling problem of the Queensland University students being officially persecuted by the Human Rights Commission. We didn't have the persecution of Bill Leake, the late, great Bill Leake, by the Human Rights Commission under this law. So there is less internal opposition now than there was then, and there is more community anger about this now than there was then.
Just finally, Tony Abbott, can I ask you, a few weeks ago now, close to 4 weeks, I suppose Malcolm Turnbull basically accused you of sabotaging his government standing in the polls, given the timing and tone of your comments about the government drifting to defeat. Now in this article, you're praising Malcolm Turnbull. You say keeping Hazelwood open will cap off a good week for the Prime Minister. He's fought for free speech, announced a new crackdown on union corruption and released an Australia First citizenship statement. Is the Liberal Party no longer drifting to, is the government no longer drifting to defeat, and the Liberal Party no longer looking like Labor Light, which was your criticism just 4 weeks ago?
Well, the important thing, Fran, is that the Liberal National Coalition govern like a centre-right government. And I think that's exactly what's been happening over the last little while. And good on the government and good on the Prime Minister for standing up for the things that we believe in. And first and foremost, there's free speech. Then there are things like an honest and clean union movement. Then there are things like a cohesive society that is united around core values. And these are all things that the government has been quite good at putting forward in the last little while, and good on them for doing it.
Tony Abbott, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, and this idea of keeping the lights on at Hazelwood, we'll put that to Darren Chester. He's the local member here in the Latrobe Valley. He's also the Federal Minister for Infrastructure, and we'll be speaking to him after 8:30. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8:20.